Track 12. And now we come to our feature article. Well, it is a bit different this week. As you may recall, the Diron's Journal AGM was held on the 16th of March. So our feature item is the chairman's report. It's read for us by Brian.
This is my chairman's report for 2025, given at the AGM held in March 2026. It's been a challenging year for Diron's Journal. That's how I opened my first chairman's report in April 2015. My predecessor, John Colley, had given notice the previous year that he wished to retire after 34 years with the paper, and many of the volunteers, some of whom had been with the journal for many years, decided that the time had come for them to retire as well. I stepped in as acting chairman, and we issued an appeal in the Mid-Devon Advertiser for new volunteers. Fortunately, a number of people came forward as a result of that appeal, at least one of whom was present at the AGM. That enabled us to continue in operation. In September 2014, we held an extraordinary general meeting to appoint a new committee and to discuss the future. At the same time, we were having difficulties with our use of premises at the junction, but after several months of searching, the Advertiser itself offered us the use of their boardroom at the old manor house in Walborough Street. We took up that offer and started recording there in July 2015. The AGM in 2015 agreed that the time had come for the journal to go digital, and we started the new service, recording on USB sticks instead of tapes, in May 2016. In November 2016, we reached edition number 2000 of the journal, and nearly 10 years later, we've reached number 2439. The number would have been higher had we not had to close down for several months during the first COVID lockdown. There have, of course, been other developments and changes over the years, particularly with regard to premises. I won't go into details, but we were sad to leave the old manor house. And although we were eventually able to find a new home at the Courtney Centre, it meant that we now have to pay a weekly hire charge, something the journal has not previously had to face. COVID was, of course, a challenge for everyone, and we had to close down for several months because we could not get access to our equipment. However, during the brief interval between the first and second lockdowns, we managed to get our equipment out of the manor house and were able to produce a much reduced edition for several months before we were able to get back to normal. The journal has also faced a challenge common to many talking newspapers. I refer to the loss of listeners. When COVID hit us in 2020, we had almost 100 listeners on the books. We are currently in the mid-50s, plus a small number of listeners who now listen online. Unfortunately, we have no way of knowing how many of these there are. Given that our listeners are, on the whole, fairly elderly, there is inevitably what we must brutally describe as natural wastage. Given that the prevalence of visual impairment has not declined, despite the efforts that are being put into research and new treatments, why are we not getting the volume of new listeners that we used to in the past? There are a number of reasons. I'm fairly certain that the main reason is the fact that the local news is now available in alternative ways, mainly digital, and given that our target audience is becoming more technically literate, they are accessing local news in other ways, if of course they want to access it at all. On the wider front, local newspapers are themselves in decline. Many talking newspapers have disappeared because their source material has itself disappeared. Some have reinvented themselves as talking magazines using a wide range of source material, but many have not. Not so long ago, I would have added that declining quality of newspapers was also a factor. Certainly our own dearly beloved Advertiser has had its problems. After the loss of their full-time editor a couple of years ago, there were weeks when we almost despaired of producing a worthwhile edition. But things do seem to have improved, and there's usually ample material for us to use, although some of it is not as local as it used to be. In other words, news is coming from a wider catchment area and is not necessarily quite as local as it used to be. Some talking newspapers have found it difficult to recruit and retain volunteers and have had to close as a result. That so far hasn't been an issue for Diron's Journal. Fortunately, we've always been able to find and retain enough volunteers. I've frequently made the point that there's a fine balance to be struck between having too many volunteers and not enough. On the one hand, you risk not giving your volunteers enough to do, which means they don't gain enough experience. On the other hand, you ask too much of them, and you have no flexibility if things go wrong. At present, the journal has just about the right numbers. Financially, the journal is okay. We'll give you the details shortly. But there's no room for complacency. Our big annual commitment is the hire of our room at the Courtney Centre at £20 a week or £1,000 a year. Apart from the change from analogue to digital recording 10 years ago, we've never had to do any serious fundraising, and that has been a real blessing. The time has now come for me to stand down as chair. I would love to continue, but I have health issues and can no longer give the journal the time and commitment it deserves. It's been a real privilege and a pleasure to lead the journal through various challenges over the past 12 years. It's been a particular pleasure to work with the people who have served as officers and committee members. I don't think we've ever had a serious disagreement in all that time, and I've not served on many committees where that can be said. But of course, the journal would not exist if it was not for the volunteers who do the reading, the engineering, and the dispatch work week after week. Thanks to all of you. I would say that I am passing on the journal in reasonably good health, although my successor and his or her colleagues will need to make sure that the standards that we have set ourselves are maintained. Once the change to digital recording had been bedded in, we submitted ourselves in 2018 to a peer review by a team from the Talking News Federation. We came out of that with a very positive report. The conclusion was, and I quote, "Dairon's Journal is an excellent talking newspaper of which you can be very proud. It provides a first-class cross-section of the local news, is very well edited and professionally delivered. Dairon's Journal was a joy to listen to." That is something of which I am indeed very proud. Thanks to all of you, listeners and volunteers, for your support over the years. It's been a privilege to serve as your chairman. And this is a summary of our accounts for the year, based on a report given by Janet Stokes, our treasurer. We began the year in January 2025 with £3,796 on our books. During the year, we had donations totalling £2,105. There was a single donation of £800. We had a church coffee morning, a concert, grants from a TDC councillor, and miscellaneous donations from listeners and volunteers. We spent £1,818 on things like insurance, the hire of the room, of course, and on the purchase of new USB players. I say new, they are second hand these days. This gave us a surplus on the year as a whole of £287, and we ended the year with reserves and cash in hand of £4,083. And that concludes the reports from this year's AGM.